As a music person, I always prefer to speak like this, so with my music stand and microphone. I'm just wondering if we can take some time before I speak today, if you will pray with me, because there's times where I just really need to rest in God's strength and let God speak through me. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you come to this point on a Sunday and you go, I'm just so exhausted, or God, I can't do this without your strength. So I'm just wondering if we can take a moment now as I pray. Thank you. Dear Lord, Lord, in this stillness now, we open ourselves to you, to your presence that is around us, within us, before us and behind us, Lord God. Lord, and in this space, you know each of our journeys, each of the paths that we have walked to be here today. You know the things that other people know, but you also know the journeys and the stories that we hold deep inside, Lord. So this morning, Lord, we also ask you that if there's anything that we're holding up, any barriers that we like to hide behind from hearing your word and your voice, Lord, Lord, we ask that with your grace you allow us to gently lay those down before you. May our minds and our ears and our hearts and our spirits be open to you, to your spirit, to the whisper of your voice, or the thunderous sound of your song. And Lord, I ask as well, Lord, that you fill me with your wisdom, Lord, your guidance. May I be your vessel, Lord, this morning, surrendering this space to you. Lord, we give this time to you. Through your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, probably 2022 to be precise, Mark and I found ourselves on an island in Vanuatu, known as Maivo, if I've got it correct. And we were the only two from Australia staying in what was known as the village of Nasawa, a French and Bislamas speaking village. One day, we had the most amazing opportunity to go on this huge adventure to another village far away that no one else had visited for about 50 years. And so we had quite an adventure getting there. I was on a dugout canoe across the sea, and Mark went cross country like Indiana Jones through the jungle because he got boat sick. So eventually we both found our way here. And the only way to get to this village was up this massive mountain, incredibly steep mountain, which was challenging but achievable to climb. So we finally made it to the top of this huge mountain, and there we spent the day with the people of the village, having worship in their little wooden church, sharing a meal and lunch. While we were there, suddenly the heavens opened and the rain bucketed. So I don't know if any of you have ever experienced a place like that or somewhere tropical. When it rains, it really rains. And it rained and it rained and it rained. Eventually, it came time to leave. It came time to walk back down that mountain. The mountain had been dirt. And you can imagine what we were faced with. It almost felt like a mudslide of a mountain. I thought, I was seriously scared. How on earth am I going to get down this mountain that is so slippery with mud and incredibly high and steep without injuring myself? And actually, before I could even say anything, I felt a hand slip into my hand on my left side. And there was one of the younger women of the village had put her hand into mine. And then I felt another hand slip into my other right hand. And that hand belonged to the oldest woman of the village, known as the Bumbu, who I think was in her 90s. And so there we were, the two women holding each hand. And together, with them gripping my hands, we began to walk, with much trepidation on my part, down the mountain. And every time my sandal would do a slip in the mud, they would grab me with their strong arms and they would hold me so I couldn't fall. In what seemed like a very long journey, praying that we would make it safe, we finally made it to the bottom of the mountain. And at the bottom of the mountain, there was a bit of a rock and reef that went out to the sea where my canoe was waiting. So we walked across the rock sort of reef thing. And just before I said goodbye, the Bumbu, she looked at my feet and they were caked in mud. And she looked at me and in her Bislama, she said, you can't go like that. And so she got down on her knees and she cupped the seawater. And with her gnarled, sort of wrinkled hands that had lived many experiences of life, she began to cup the seawater and gently wash the mud from my sandals, every skerrick from my sandals. And if that wasn't enough, she then got me to take off my sandals and she rubbed the mud off the sole of the sandals I'd been walking in for weeks. Think of that story that we heard earlier of Jesus meeting the disciples. Back in that day, which hadn't occurred to me a while ago, there weren't any motorized cars. There might have been one of those chariots here and there if you're really rich, but the roads were dirt. They were probably rocky in places. And I'm thinking they were probably travelled by perhaps donkeys or camels, maybe horses. And you can imagine what animals would leave on the road. We don't often think about this. We go, what sort of road did people walk on back then? There was all sorts of things on the road. And I imagine that the disciples would often be walking either with sandals or perhaps even barefoot. So imagine their feelings when Jesus says to them, I want to wash your feet. The disciples had no warning to say, before you come tonight to our gathering, go and wash your feet and wash off every bit of mud and poo and dirt off your feet so they look absolutely beautiful before someone else touches your feet. Suddenly it was landed on them. Their feet, simply as they were. And I imagine if the disciples had journeyed as much as we hear about them doing, they would have had scars and cuts, wounds and blisters. But yet, in the midst of this, Jesus lovingly holds them. As the Bumbu held my feet all muddy and sore and probably blistered from walking around on these muddy dirt tracks in Vanuatu. I wonder if we can imagine, if we can for a moment place ourselves as one of those in that room with Jesus. If we were in that space with Jesus, how would we actually feel? Yes, we can tell our heads, yes, I'd feel fine. It would be, I trust Jesus, God, my Lord and Saviour. I would feel fine, but would you? Perhaps you would. Perhaps you're at a point in life where you would feel okay with that. How do we feel? How do we really feel about Jesus holding our muddied feet, our wounds, our scars, our vulnerabilities? Are there certain parts of our feet that we'd rather go, no, Jesus, I'm not quite ready for you to deal with this yet? No, I'll put a few band-aids on that. No, don't even go near here yet. I'm not ready. I'm not actually not ready to bring this before you. I wrote down a few questions here that came to me. What will Jesus think of the state of my feet? Yes, I know I've been told Jesus loves me, this I know. I know it up here in my head. But do I really know that? Does my heart really, really know that? What will Jesus think of me? Am I a failure for not living up to God's expectations? What does it mean for Jesus to really hold our feet as they are? As I've been studying spiritual direction, one of the things that has amazed me is I've come across all these amazing Christian writers, many of them who are long gone, Christian mystics, monks, people that we look and admire. And Henri Nouwen, that some of you might have heard of, is one of them. And the thing that amazes me, that they're these men and women who we go, oh my goodness, they're incredible. They've got such wise words. And it's almost a sense that at times we can put them on a pedestal in our own selves, that they've got all their lives together. Everything's perfect and it makes sense. But yet, it's these same men and women that also share the struggle in their own lives and that share what it means to bring everything before God. They don't talk about having everything all together. They're real. They're simply real about the mud and the wounds and the scars on their feet. Henri Nouwen actually says something like this amazing line that he talks about prayer, prayer being what it means to just be before Jesus. So it doesn't have to be closing my eyes in prayer. It means prayer as in how we bring our lives before Jesus, how we share stuff with Jesus. And he says prayer can only become unceasing prayer when all our thoughts, beautiful or ugly, high or low, proud or shameful, sorrowful or joyful, can be thought of in the presence of God. Instead of going, these are only thoughts acceptable to God, these are my pious thoughts, these are my thoughts that I can present before God and feel fine about it. It's going, how do I bring everything before God. Now, before I go any further with my story sharing, as we said, there's going to be some opportunities for creative response. But there's no force on this. You're just invited, and at any point, you can be a part of it if you want to. I was very grateful to Linda, who helped me out during the week. And over here, Linda has worked very hard. I love these. And Linda has made a basket of feet. If you can see, I'll bring some over, then I'll show her. So you can see at the moment, they're just plain stencils of feet. And she's also, you know, done these amazing examples. One with a verse she put from the reading we had on John, and one with a pattern. So if at any time while I'm speaking, or even after the service, if you felt like you wanted to have a foot, a symbol of a foot, that perhaps in your own time, whenever it is, even while people are having coffee, if there's a word that meant something to you, or a little symbol, or simply you just want to hold the feet and in your mind know what's written on it. Something that for you, you want to bring before God. Bring before the bowl. And when you want to do that, if you, like I said, it might even just be laying a foot and going, you know, God, you know what I've got on here. I don't need to put it where other people can see it, but you know. And it's simply the action of taking a foot and just laying it. We've got a bowl and a towel here as well down by the cross, and you can just lay your foot near the bowl as an act of surrender, as an act of going, yes, God, I don't actually have everything altogether. I have got wounds and pains that are part of my life and part of my journey. But I just want to put them there. Just see what you can do with that. So Ayla, Daniel and Amber also, if you were listening, if you see those feet as well and you want to do a drawing on it, or something that you want to say to Jesus or God, and then you can, and then you can lay it down at the cross. See, there's textures in there too. Can you see that? Okay. I'm reflecting on this reading. I think there's two parts to it. One is about what it means to bring our feet, our muddied feet, before God, and what it means for Jesus to wash our feet. But I think there's another part to the reading. Because as you read on there, doesn't Jesus say something about, as I've done this to you, then I want you to do this for each other. So there's another confronting challenge in this reading, which I've actually found quite confronting in my life. What does it mean to not just bring our wounds and our scars and our pains to God, but what does it mean to share those parts of ourselves with other people in our lives? Other people in our community, and other people here in our church. This is something that, as I said, I've had to journey with myself. Think about 13, 12 years ago, I'm trying to think how long ago now, probably close to about 13 years ago. I remember being early in my pregnancy, and I'd gone to have my scan with Mark, and I was so excited to see that little flicker of a heartbeat. You know, when if you're able to and you can have those ultrasounds, just see the little light of a heart pulsating. came time for another scan. This time, when I went for my scan, there was no heartbeat. And because it was early on, I hadn't quite yet told people either, because I wanted to wait and see. I wanted to get to that point of sharing the joy of this new baby growing inside. But already in my own head, in my own heart, I felt the excitement of knowing there was a little life finally growing, and already feeling that bond, as you can as a mum, when you can't really see the baby, but you know you have a baby there right within you. So after having this scan, that night I was faced with losing this life that had been growing inside of me. And in the midst of the deep pain and trauma of letting this life slip away, I remembered that the next day, both Mark and I were on at church. We were due to be on deck, as upfront as possible. Mark was due to be speaking, and I was due to be the one leading all the worship and the music. And I lay there in my bed, what do I do? I hadn't told anybody. Mark hadn't told anybody. Because for me, that felt so private and so special, but I went from feeling that real joy to the deep pain. And we decided that he would call one of the elders and tell them that night what was happening, so they knew the story, and we asked them to explain so the congregation could be aware of what was happening. And I remember how hard I found it for weeks after. But what blew me away was the love and care of the people in the congregation, who, knowing our struggle and the pain and the grief of that loss, amazingly sent us flowers that, for me, not just showed they cared about me, but they honoured the life that had grown inside of me. And they brought us meals, and some just popped by to have a visit, to say, you know what, I've had a similar story, this is my story. And they opened up and shared in ways that they never had before. And then I remember finally going back to church, and because I'm up front, because Mark was a minister, there wasn't really a way I could hide. Because they see you walk in and here you are, and you know, you're right there in front of everyone's eyes. And I remember sitting there, and I don't even know what song it was. But you know those moments where you hear a song and you see the words and go, oh, and you can't stop. You can't hold back the tears, and you try and try and try. And you try and be tough and brave, and then you can't. And they just flowed. And I remember sitting there in the pew with the tears rolling down my face. People held our aching hearts. They knelt beside us, and they took our tired, hurting, muddied feet, and with their hands, they gently washed our feet in the water. I know that God longs for us to feel the extent of his love. I know that, and that story that we shared about John, about Jesus kneeling down, wanting to hold the feet. God's got, Jesus has the bowl there ready. Jesus has the bowl there ready, but Jesus can't force any of us to go to have our feet washed. He can't force us to share our stories with each other. He can't force us to share the mud and the wounds and the scars on our feet. But Jesus waits. Jesus waits and invites us. It was just yesterday as I was sitting with this, I heard this scripture come to me from Matthew 11. And a number of you would have heard this before, but it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." We're not bringing our wounds before a dictator and a judge, a full-on judge that's going to tear us apart for bringing our mud. We're bringing them towards God in Jesus, ready to be gentle, humble, and near beside us and hold our feet. I actually, which if you want to listen to it, let me know sometime and you can have a CD, but years ago I recorded a song that I wrote for Little One on this album, but I also wrote a poem. Think of this in your space with Jesus, and think of this in your space with each other. Let me love you. Let me hold your hand between mine and tell you things will be all right. Not because your problems will go away, but because you will not be alone. Let me love you. Let me laugh with you and dance with you as rain falls on our heads. Let us splash in muddy puddles and search for rainbows. Let me love you. Let us sit in silent spaces and cry, our tears mingling on our pressed faces. Let us kiss each other's wounds, unafraid, unashamed. Let me love you. Let me hold your broken heart in mine, not because I can make it whole, but because I treasure the story of each precious piece. Let me love you. Let us sing with joy and hope to the light, and together chase rainbows until we don't know where yours ends and mine begins. Jesus kneels at our feet with the bowl of water and with grace-filled eyes says, let me love you. Let me love you. And if, like I said earlier, at some point in the rest of service or at the end of the service when other people are out there having coffee, if you want to write or draw something on the foot or you just want to pick up a foot and lay it there and go, God, you know my story, I'm just putting it here, then you can do that. I'm just going to pray and then Kay can come and lead communion. Our loving God, you know the wounds and the mud, the hurts and the scars on our feet, even more so than we know ourselves. So Lord, we just ask that we continue to find the courage in your strength to be open to sharing these with you, to know that you will love us. You will love us in the beautiful and the ugly, in the sorrowful and the joyful, Lord, that you will hold us in all of it. And Lord, we also ask that as a community here, Lord, that you help us to grow what it means to wash each other's feet and to bring our struggles before each other, knowing that through each other you love us. Lord, thank you for this time together. And may we can continue to be open to your Spirit as this service continues to unfold. We offer these things to you. Through your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.